Look at you, hacker. A pathetic creature of meat and bone. Panting and sweating as you run through my corridors. How can you challenge a perfect, immortal machine?
What's great? What's garbage? Everything you need to know about video games. Now, along with the guys from Game Informer magazine, here's the fans, Paul Charchian.
The guys from Game Informer magazine are, in fact, in LA at E3. So they're not here, but a frequent contributor to this show, my brother, Sam Charchian, 10 years at Xbox, now, I don't know, 5-6 years at Sony.
Let's
PlayStation.
Call it four.
Four years at Sony PlayStation. And that makes you much more qualified than me to be on this show.
Ooh, that's a high bar. I don't know.
That is a high bar. Plenty to talk about. We only get the E3 show once a year.
Yes.
This is probably our biggest show of the year. Definitely want to hear from you on what you're most excited about. What disappointed you? What did you hope to see? What didn't you see?
Mm-hmm.
All the stuff from E3. I think we now know almost everything we're going to know. All the big pressers are over.
Yep.
Now it's mostly media getting hands-on time and some first-hand reaction.
Right. People are playing the games at E3 this week.
You've been to, what, like 14 of the last 15 E3s?
I've been to a lot of them,
A lot of E3s,
mm-hmm.
Yes. Yep. So you know the drill.
I do.
This.
I've been to a lot of those pressers.
Broadly, to me, I thought this was going to be, given in the where we are in the life cycle of these consoles, thought there would be bigger, more exciting stuff. And there's a handful of things that are really noteworthy, but overall, it's kind of like, meh.
It's a kind of weak E3. There's no new console launches. There weren't a lot of new franchises being busted out. There weren't even a lot of really new and unique kind of game styles that are being shown off.
Not a lot.
It was not a very risky E3.
No. Now, maybe it'd been different if Bethesda had somehow managed to keep Fallout 76 quiet until now.
Yeah.
Maybe that, you know, that news would have been bigger, but that broke, you know, 2 weeks ago. So
was it 2 weeks?
Yeah, 2 weeks. It was on a Tuesday 2 weeks ago when they first revealed there was something coming.
Right.
And then a couple days later, we got the full scoop on it.
Well, I wouldn't say full scoop. I still feel like I have a lot of questions about what Fallout 76 is.
I'm with you on that. By the way, Zach, do we have giveaways today?
Working on it.
Thank you. We encourage you to call in regardless of the giveaway situation with your E3 thoughts. 1-800-320-5326. Let's go to Fallout 76, Sam.
Yeah.
Here's what we know. It's a prequel to all the Fallout games, at least chronologically.
Okay.
It's a preview. It is set in West Virginia. To this point in the past, we've mostly been desert and blown out cities.
Yeah. It's post-apocalyptic, you know, nightmarish hellscapes of.
Yes. This time, though, it's rural. So this is, it's forests. It's small towns. It's, you know, the periodic shack, that kind of stuff.
Right.
So that we do have a different setting than we've had for the past ones.
Only marginally so. I mean, I don't know. From what I saw, it looked enough like Fallout 4 to me that it didn't look that unique.
Yeah. I think that, you know, do you think there's going to be Fallout fatigue?
Ooh, Fallout fatigue. No, I
not
I don't
like
think
Assassin's
so.
Creed or, you know, some of the annualized ones.
No, because Fallout, look, we're on version 4 mainline Fallout.
Yeah.
That came out, what, a year or 2 years ago?
Three.
And the game, when did Fallout 1 came out? You and I both played Fallout 1.
20 years ago.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't think there's any fatigue. It's not like they're putting out multiple, you know, versions of the game a year or something.
Same engine, though. And
yeah, it's a bummer.
The engine's now old.
It is really showing its age.
Yeah, I think so, too. The difference here, though, and it's a big difference, is Fallout 76 is going to be an entirely online experience.
Yeah. And I'm not sure what to make of that, to be honest.
So they stressed during the presser, you can play solo, But what they are not telling you is you're always playing with other people.
Right. I mean, there are no NPCs. He said all the NPCs aren't NPCs. They're actual people. Real players.
That's right.
Which sounds great, but how does that work?
How does that work? I mean, you know, do I talk? Do you give me a quest?
I hope so, but I doubt it.
I don't know. I mean, I don't understand how that's going to work yet.
I don't know either. So there's a lot of big questions that just, like, gameplay-wise, the pieces are not fitting together in my head.
Yeah, it's there will be co-op play. He said that. So
I love
that. Cooperative play.
Yep.
This feels like how Destiny works. If I log into Destiny and just want to play by myself,
yeah,
I can play by myself, but I'll see other people running around and other people are off doing their own stuff.
Right.
But I'm not interacting with them. So I'm effectively by myself.
I think so.
And if I want to try to team up with them, I can. So I think that's how it's going to go down. But then there's also, by the way, I think there's massive, like, player versus player and team versus team stuff in this as well.
And it sounded like it might be pretty massive in scope because
four
you can
times
nuke a city.
The size of Fallout 4.
Yeah, that's huge.
Huge. Fallout 4 was all but impossible to go from one end to the other.
Right. So four times that size, the player density must be pretty high. So on any given map, when you load into a server and you're playing with people, are there 100 people in that world? Or are there 1,000? Are there 16? Like, I have
can't
no idea.
Can't be 16 if the world's bigger than, if it's four times bigger than Fallout 4. There's got to be at least 100 people playing or I'm never going to see anybody.
I don't know. These are all questions that I have about the game that I'm a little bit unsatisfied with the amount of information they've given us.
There is a you're not going to like this.
Okay.
There's a focus on city building and crafting for your cities.
That
was my least favorite part of Fallout 4.
Right.
And I know for some people, it's their favorite part was building their settlements.
You know people who feel that way?
Yes, I do.
Hmm. Are you friends with them? Cut ties?
Yes. No. I found it to be mundane and boring.
Me too.
And I never liked the mechanics of trying to build out that Fallout.
The resources.
Yeah, the Fallout 4. Yeah, I had to scrounge for all the resources, and I had to, you know, build things out of parts, and then it just seemed like a lot of busy work to
me.
That's not why we play Fallout. You know, I want to go shoot radioactive crabs and stuff.
Right.
You know, that's the fun of it, I think.
I agree.
But some people want to talk about it. Let's jump into some Fallout 76 phone calls. We'll start with Dean. Hi, Dean.
Hi, Paul.
What'd you think of what we learned about Fallout 76?
Well, I was talking to my friend on Sunday. We were talking about this on Sunday afternoon. I was down in Winona, Minnesota. You know, we're Fallout buffs. We played all of them. Hmm. Fallout Tactics, Brotherhood of Steel on the PlayStation.
Yeah.
Brotherhood of Steel, that's hardcore, man.
Yes, we were hardcore. and the one thing about it, though, is we were talking about it. He says it's sounds like it's going to be prequel to all the other ones.
It is.
And I said, that sounds like more interesting to do because I don't mind building stuff. I like doing that.
Well,
that
good.
Is,
yeah.
That's and if you build a community, you got people that come in and they like what you're doing. The people will come in, and then when they say when the other people are on and you're doing trading, that's how you make your money. In the game,
right?
And amongst the others, and like you said, some people are not going to like that. They want more or less like a
RPG shooter.
The shooter type stuff. You're still going to have it, but in order to get your community started and everything, you got to go out and go clear the area so you can build your community.
Yeah. I think you're right. I think you got to go clear out all the radioactive guys and all the rad scorpions and everything else that's there.
Yeah.
And then you got to start, you know, laying down foundations for your city and ultimately build some settlement in time.
Mm-hmm.
And then what I don't totally understand, Dean, Sam, is I build a house for myself, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I log out. Then I come back and
it's been ransacked? I don't know.
Well, is the house even... How does it even put my house back there? Because in the meantime, somebody else has built a house in that same spot.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't... We got a lot of questions, Dean. We don't know how this is going to work.
The one thing they should do is if someone builds a house, they claim they should have, like, a claim stake in the area, and that's what they should do.
Yeah.
Well, okay, but, you know, sure, that works on my instance of the build of this world.
Right.
But I don't own that instance to this build.
But maybe
of this
you always
world.
Get the same instance. I don't know.
But well, it can't work that way.
It can.
I don't know how
MMOs do it.
I think it could. I think it could.
Well,
because both me and my friend, we were talking about it. It's just we were hardcore, and we played mainly on the computer with Fallout,
yeah.
Fallout 2,
yep.
mm-hmm. Fallout Tactics, Fallout, and I do have Fallout New Vegas on for the PlayStation, but I don't have it for the computer, and I don't have Fallout 4. I have had a chance to play that game.
But wait, you said you played them all.
Yeah,
and
wait
you haven't played Fallout 4. Dean, it's years old. Go buy it. It's $5 used.
I know. I don't have a PS4, though.
Oh, Dean.
It only comes out for the PS4.
Well, it's also available. It's available on Xbox. It's available on PC.
Yep. Right. I've been looking for it on the PC, but my PC's been down for the last couple of years. I have not been able to play it. I watched some people play it. That is a phenomenal game. I like the way they did that.
Let's save a dollar a day, and you'll have a PlayStation by Christmas. Dean, we got to call the other callers. Thank you for chiming in. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I think Dean's onto something with the gameplay, though. I think he's probably about right about how they're going to try and do that.
Tom, hello.
Hi.
Hi, you've got some thoughts on Fallout 76?
Yeah, just want to kind of say that I'm new to the Fallout genre. Just in the last couple of years, I played Fallout 3, New Vegas, and Fallout 4 recently, and I put hundreds and hundreds of hours. And when this news came out, I was just devastated that it wasn't a single player game.
Yeah.
And I've slept on it a few nights, and I've just realized that people and I was overreacting, and I'm just realizing now that this just opens Fallout up to a whole another community. Like, there's so many people that love these MMO games that are going to be brought to this game now. And I'm one of those people that when I find a new game that I love, and Fallout has been that one for me for the past couple of years, I want them to play with me. And you can't really play Fallout and all the previous games with anyone.
Yeah,
and
right.
I'm now excited that I'm actually going to be able to play Fallout with my friends. And that's some people who love the solo games like I do are all about just sitting in the basement alone playing and being enthralled in another world. But now with a few buddies, you can be in that world with them. I just think after sleeping on a few nights, it's just going to be such a great thing for the Fallout community.
I hope you're right, and I'm nervous about it, but I'm not skeptical that it'll end up being great. Tom, how about this though? Vats is dead.
Kind of has to be.
It has to be. You can't stop the game and then, you know, analyze your percentages if I'm doing a left arm shot or a right arm shot or a leg shot or a head shot. And you can't pause. You know, the game can't. The world can't pause while you're lining up your shot.
Right. Has to be real. They could do a real-time VATS, but that would be
maybe
really different than VATS.
Yeah, very different. I don't know how it works.
Yeah.
I was such a I'm such a VATS user, too.
Me, like, too.
Yeah, I like it, too.
Hard things. There's people that base their whole gameplay off VATS, and I'm usually one of those people. And that's going to be something I'm going to have to adjust to. But plenty of games change styles, and some are for the worse, some are for the better. And I just feel like overall this will just open up Fallout to people that can't play single-player games, that can't just sit and be alone for forever. They want interaction. And I feel like this will bring a whole new community to when – because, of course, Fallout's going to come out with another single-player game eventually.
Maybe. Who knows?
I really believe.
They're not too fast about it.
But I feel like those people will then brought to that game, and it'll just make the Fallout community bigger. And I guess I've kind of 180'd or 360'd in the last few days sleeping on it. So
thank you, Tom. Appreciate that. It's going to be different. Going to be a different Fallout world, and Tom's right. It'll go great, and this will become what Fallout is going forward, or it'll flop, and they'll go back to single player.
Or they can both. They can have two main lines. But But I think the thing that you and I wanted are the same thing that Tom wanted. I mean, the announcement we wanted to hear was Fallout 5 with co-op.
That's it. Right, that's it. That's all I wanted. Fallout 5 with co-op.
Right.
That's all I wanted.
Me too.
And I don't know how they missed the mark on that.
Well, they think they have something better, obviously.
Or something they can monetize better.
Oh, for sure.
You know, maybe that's part of it. After this, let's go back. We still have callers lined up, and we will be sprinkling in calls liberally throughout our discussions. I definitely want to talk about Cyberpunk 2077. This is the next project by arguably the best studio in the world, Poland's CD Projekt, the creators of Witcher 3. So now we will talk single-player, hardcore RPGs. Cyberpunk 2077, we come back.
This is Video Games Weekly on The Fan.
Welcome back. It's segment number two of Video Games Weekly on The Fan. Paul Charchian here. Reiner's out at E3. My brother, Sam Charchian, here.
Hello.
And Sam, of course, with Xbox and PlayStation currently. So, you know, we will talk some of the PlayStation exclusives. I want to talk about a lot of them.
We should be
Last of Us and a lot of other things, too. But I think the other really hot topic after Fallout 76 was Cyberpunk 2077.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this.
We should really touch on that for sure. As I mentioned going into the break, Witcher 3, to me, remains the high water mark for role-playing games.
Of all time?
To preface this, for first-person role-playing games, best ever. Witcher 3.
Okay.
It took the mantle from Skyrim, which I think had been the best. Witcher 3 did it with better story and better characters, better writing, and an engine that was, it's still today.
Looks great.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
You know, Witcher 3 is just, it was amazing.
Yeah.
Now the same people are putting out Cyberpunk 2077. By the way, announced way back in 2012. They announced that they were starting work on it.
On a cyberpunk RPG?
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
And it's taken this long to get to this. And we still don't have a date for it. They haven't told us. All right. So give me your thoughts on Cyberpunk 2077 based on what you've seen so far.
So for me, they had me already at the same developer who makes The Witcher, and they're doing something cyberpunk themed. Like, done.
Single player.
Just take my money. I'll buy it.
Right.
And also at E3, I feel like there wasn't a lot of RPG representation. So they kind of got to, Fallout, maybe, we don't really know.
Yeah,
but I feel like they kind of got the RPG stage almost to themselves for this round.
Yep. So, especially as a single player.
Yeah.
RPG.
Right. I'm really excited about it. I mean, in my opinion, there's almost no chance it's not a great, great game.
Yeah. Based on reputation and everything else they've touched, it should be fantastic. Now they didn't. All we've got is a trailer and bits and pieces, fragments of information that we've figured out about Cyberpunk 2077. No gameplay yet.
Right.
But here's what we know. You play as a man or a woman named V. It will use the same stat system as the Cyberpunk 2077 tabletop game.
Wow.
Which there is one. It's a pen and paper role-playing game.
So they had to go license that, probably?
Yeah, for nothing, I'm sure. I mean,
who owns that? Is that like an old TSR game?
It's not TSR, but it's some company from the 80s. I mean, it was an 80s-era pen and pencil role-playing game. You don't pick a class. I love this. You don't have to pick a class at the start of the game when you know nothing about the universe.
That totally
makes sense. Nothing bugs me more than role-playing games that you know nothing about the world, know nothing about anything works, and they're going to make you be a paladin for the rest of the game.
Right, and you figure out 10 hours in oh man, I wish I was a different class.
Yes. Yeah. I can't tell you how many times I've had to just scrap everything that I started with and roll back the 10 hours and go, all right, this is everything I know now, I'm going to restart the game and go play it again. Lots of NPCs who will dole out missions and dialogue.
Great.
Vehicular transportation and vehicular combat in this as well. There is a bullet time ability to slow down time. We know that in Cyberpunk 2077. Many obstacles are going to have multiple solutions. Like, you come to a locked door. Are you going to lockpick the door?
Mm-hmm.
If you can't lockpick the door, maybe there's a security panel. Maybe you can break into the panel.
Or maybe you can just bash the door down.
You can bash the door down. Right. So a lot of options to get around things. They've hinted that you will get like cybernetic enhancements over time and cybernetic abilities over time, and you'll, you know, sort of mutate and grow yourself a little bit.
Cool.
So that could be great as well. That's about all we got, but the trailer looked the setting looks.
Yeah, the art direction looks great.
So good.
Yeah. I mean, the pedigree of this developer is just fantastic.
It's impeccable.
Right.
It's impeccable. So Cyberpunk 2077, if you've got thoughts on that, we'd be happy to hear from you. And in the meantime, let's go to some of our callers. Ryan, thank you for your patience. I appreciate it.
No problem, Charles. How's it going?
Great. Thank you. It's a big day. It's, you know, it's E3. This is
no, man.
You know, I love this show every year.
I think E3 is the Super Bowl of gaming.
It is. It is. It's a great way to put it.
You know, I disagree with you. I think it was a really great show. I'm glad they took a year out from showing new hardware.
Mm.
You know, you get to see kind of this current gen, what the capabilities are with the software. I mean, what we're seeing from Microsoft and Sony, as far as graphic-wise, I mean, it's jaw-dropping.
It is. That's why there's not a new hardware platform being announced. It's, the games look great.
Yeah, there's some truth to that.
Yeah, but, you know, I just wanted to give a quick, my hype power rankings. Number three, I got Elder Scrolls, the little teaser we saw.
Yeah, it's...
I mean, it wasn't much, but, I mean, the Reddit's going to go crazy for about a year or two. Maybe we'll see it this decade. We'll see.
Hold on a second, just to play out what you're talking
about.
You're
gonna crush his dreams.
Elder Scrolls 6 is you know, it's the next game after Skyrim in the progression here. Here's what we know timing wise on it. It's coming after their next big role playing game, which is the new IP that they just announced
called Starfield.
So Starfield's gonna come first. And it's not coming until the next generation of hardware, which we believe is no earlier than 2 years from now, maybe 3 years from now. So if Starfield is 2 or 3 years out, that suggests to me that Elder Scrolls 6 is another 2-ish years after that. So we may literally be 6 years, still 6 years away from Skyrim's successor.
So I wonder how many Skyrim remasters we'll get in the meantime. Well, maybe we'll get a couple more here.
Yeah, exactly.
It is running on Alexa.
All right, so what's your number two?
I got Halo Infinity. I'm a Halo fanboy, and I mean, I was just goosebumps. I mean, the trailer, I mean, I love what 343 appears to have done. The art style, bringing back the old Halo scores. You know, it looks like, I mean, they're starting scratch with a new engine. You know, as a Halo guy, I mean, that got me really fired up.
Ryan, but, did you like Halo 5 and 4?
I wanted to give a quick Halo plug. What's that?
Did you like Halo 5 and 4?
You know, I tell you what, I mean, I enjoyed them, but they definitely didn't have the same power. They didn't give me the same feel that the Bungie era games had. I did enjoy them, but, you know, they weren't like the AAA feeling of 5-star Bungie games that I felt, you know, back in the day.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's right.
But, Cyberpunk is the main reason. I mean, that was the number one. I mean, Microsoft closed with it, and I was losing my mind. That game looks amazing. You know, I just wanted to see if there's any more info. I mean, I saw on Twitter possibly a first-person perspective in the game, which kind of surprised me. But
I get the feeling that first-person bit is... I get the feeling that that is only going to be, for... Something is happening. Time is paused and the camera pulls out or something, but we'll see. Maybe, you know, I don't necessarily want to play my game third person, but maybe. I don't know. But Witcher was third. Wait, was Witcher third person? I think it was.
I think it was third.
Yeah
I think it was. Yeah. Ryan, thank you for calling in. I'm kind of with you on all those. They're all exciting. Thank you for
I'm not sold on Halo. I mean, they've let me down twice in a row.
Yeah.
You know, Halo 5 was really disappointing. So
most people felt that way.
I'm going to wait and see.
All right. Sounds good. Andy, thank you for your patience. I appreciate it.
Hey there. Chuck, how's it going?
Good. Thanks for calling in. What's on your mind?
Hey, I thought it would be fun. I watched the live stream of the Nintendo press conference at E3 this morning. And I thought it would be fun to do a 30-second summary of the Nintendo Direct.
You know what?
You have
in the
thing?
10-year history of this show, I don't think we have ever had a 30-second review of an E3 presser. This is you'll be hitting uncharted territory, as far as I know.
Well, I look forward to letting everyone down.
and that may very well happen. All right, Andy, are you ready?
Yeah. Sure.
All right, go.
All right, Nintendo's E3 Nintendo Direct was, I think, jam-packed full of content, but the three biggest takeaways to me were, one, the release date and reveal of Mario Party for Switch and Fire Emblem for Switch coming out in October and I think spring of next year, and then Fortnite for Switch, and finally just a whole lot of more info on Smash Brothers, the two biggest things being the release date of December 8th of this year, and the reveal that every single character from every single previous version of Smash Brothers would be available to play on this version, which is incredibly ambitious and very exciting at the same time.
Nicely done, Andy. Now, I couldn't disagree with you more on your I came out of the Nintendo presser so hopelessly bored. But
oh, my God. Yeah,
Andy, they spent roughly 25 minutes.
No more. I think
on
it's more.
One game on Super Smash Brothers. I mean, they were detailing the outfits, the sound effects that each character makes.
Yeah.
And I love the Switch. I love it. And I walked away going, they gave more time to that than all the other games combined.
Oh, at least double that much.
Yeah, double. Right.
Oh, yeah, and they had that montage of, like, 5 seconds in other games
they
that
did.
I really wanted to learn more about.
Right, yes.
I tuned in wanting to learn more about Smash Brothers, so it gave me what I want, but I can totally understand that if you wanted, like, a bigger diversity of content, that it was just not what you wanted.
Yeah, and I just think, you know, and they don't have to do their presser the same way everybody else does, but a lot of what we love is that we get 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes of a lot of different games, enough so that you feel like you've learned something about these games, you can get invested in them, instead of drilling down on the outfit types Mario can wear in Super Smash Brothers.
Right.
And
that's fine. I just think it's super ambitious for them to have, like, 64 characters.
Yeah. Oh, that is super ambitious.
It is.
And one of the things that, think about testing all the test matrix of all the different characters.
Every character
and the animations blending together against different guys. It's got to just be brutal.
They have to make 64 different versions of Kirby alone.
right. So, you know, look, and I'm sure, there's no doubt in my mind, Super Smash Brothers Ultimate is going to be a great fighter.
It'll be a huge hit.
It's going to be a huge hit. But let me ask you this, Andy.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things I talked about, Nintendo talked about, is all the new functionality that they've built into it. And I'm worried that one of the key things that I think people have loved about Super Smash Bros. Ultimate is you could just hand off a controller to somebody and let them button mash and go have fun with it. And I worry that they're integrating too many moves, too many techniques, too many combos that make this thing more of a hardcore fighter experience instead of the fun sit on the couch with your buddies experience that it has been in the past.
Yeah, that's going to have to be an intricate balance, but I think you can pull it off in a way that, like, you can have that, like, really high-end esports experience, but at the same time, maybe there's certain characters that are so user-friendly that they can still go toe-to-toe with your buddies. You know, the GameCube controller is going to be compatible, so, you know, they have
that
to
helps.
Keep that old button set available for every character.
Also, this is Nintendo. I mean, that's the one thing they always get right. I mean, their games are always pick-up-and-play, happy, friendly games.
Right. So they'll probably get it right.
They'll get that right.
But, you know, when they were rolling out all the new moves and everything, I was going, geez, I don't know. This sounds, you know,
it's getting more hardcore.
Yeah, it is getting more hardcore.
Well, their audience is aging a little bit, too, so maybe, you know, people can handle it.
Andy, great job. Thank you very much for the 30-second review.
You.
It's uncharted territory in the 10-year history of the show. I think that's fantastic. I am more excited for Nintendo for a bunch of other stuff coming to the Switch. We'll talk about some of those things, and I definitely, while Sam's here, PlayStation guy, works for PlayStation. Mm-hmm. We got to talk about some of the big PlayStation announcements.
Yeah.
We haven't even gotten to them yet.
Oh, so,
plenty more to get to in the final segment. Final segment of Video Games Weekly on The Fan. Paul Charchian, my brother Sam Charchian. You work for Sony PlayStation.
Indeed.
Which makes you highly qualified to discuss The Last of Us 2.
Ooh, yes.
Yes, the trailer was shocking in many regards.
Yeah, the franchise has grown up a little bit, hasn't it?
Boy, and so has Ellie.
Right.
Ellie's grown up quite a bit.
Yeah.
Deeply violent. deeply gritty and brutal.
I'm almost a little bit worried about that.
I am too, to be honest.
The other one, you know, the first Last of Us wasn't exactly a, you know, easy, laid-back, mellow game either.
No, it wasn't.
But this is really visceral.
Very.
And part of that is because we have such a more powerful box to render all of that on.
Yeah.
Last of Us was a PS3 title.
Correct.
And so now, you know, we're dealing with a platform exclusive on PS4, and they're really pushing... They're making the game as visceral as they can. I mean, there's a lot.
But you don't have to stab somebody in the jugular, you know, and blood everywhere. And, you know,
Are you sure?
I don't think that's necessary. I saw her stab a guy in the jugular and then shoot a woman in the face.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the trailer.
Yeah, and, I mean, the first one had some of that, too. I mean, it was a pretty violent game.
But it was also primarily against zombies. This is against humans.
Yeah, that's true.
And that changes things
a
little bit.
It's definitely a more violent game.
Yeah, Last of Us 2 is not going to be the same. You know, Ellie's grown up, but she still can't overpower enemies based on what we saw.
No.
She was using stealth and guile tactics the whole time.
Right. And I also noticed that Joel is gone. I mean, we haven't seen Joel.
No.
I assume he's in the game. That would be really disappointing if he weren't. And I honestly don't know. You know, working at Sony doesn't necessarily give me access to all the inside information on what's going on with that.
There's going to be an appearance.
I mean, the whole dynamic between Joel and Ellie in the first game is what made the game great.
Arguably, like, the best two-person relationship in the history of video games, right?
Not even arguable, in my opinion. Yeah. It was just ridiculous. If you haven't played the game, anyone who's listening, you need to. It's one of the few video games that is really well done as far as story and character and you actually care about them and what's happening to them. And that's what made it a special game.
Absolutely true. So Last of Us 2, it's to this point still undated. But I gotta think they're getting close at this point. I mean, they talked about it was at last E3.
Last E3, yeah. So it's got to be getting close.
I think it is getting close.
But there is no date attached to it yet.
I think I'm excited for that. Next, a game that we did not know was coming.
Right.
And they showed it's a PlayStation exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
Ghost of Tsushima.
Yeah.
Tsushima. This is a feudal Japan action fighter. Tell people what you pulled out of the lengthy gameplay that we got from Sony on this title that we knew nothing about.
Well, I really like that they showed, it was like 2 or 3 minutes solid or maybe even more of just straight gameplay.
Yeah.
I really like that. The visuals looked absolutely amazing. Stunning. I don't know if you noticed like the footprints in the sand and stuff. It was just like insane.
When he was riding through the fields of wheat.
Yeah.
And just, you know, seeing how that rendered. Oh, it's gorgeous.
Yeah. All the foliage rendering also not only that, but Last of Us had incredible looking foliage rendering too. So I think Sony's got some new tech maybe.
Yeah, it could be.
That up their sleeve that works really well for that. So, it looked like a beautiful game. If you're into that kind of genre of experience,
action fighter, feudal Japan,
if
you like the samurai era,
right? I mean, it looked actually kind of. I mean, I don't know that much about that era personally, but it looked sort of authentic in the way it played and looked.
Felt real to you?
Yeah, it did. Yeah. And it didn't look like cheesy sword play. It looked like real sword play to me.
Yeah, it's an open world game. Mm-hmm. And it looks like you can go anywhere, anytime. It reminded me of Horizon Zero Dawn.
Oh, really?
When I was looking at it, the way the characters moved and the world reminded me that. And when we were trying to figure out what this thing is, you and I were chatting, and I was like, "This could be by the Horizon Zero Dawn people, maybe."
That's
because
right.
This
you did
is
think that yeah.
This has that kind of. It had a not totally different setting, but the mechanics of it look
right,
similar.
Right, the riding the horse and the foliage and all that stuff, sure.
The art direction, so good in this game. And again, I'll say the name again, Ghost of Tsushima, that oftentimes while we were watching the gameplay, they would just pause and you take in the moment.
Right.
I mean, that's pretty bold.
Yeah, image quality is just nuts on these games now.
Did you notice there was no HUD?
I did not notice.
No heads-up display of any
kind. Interesting. How do they portray damage on your character?
I don't remember. I'm not sure.
Did he take damage in the video?
He did take damage. A few times he did actually take some damage in this thing. Yeah. So we're going to watch that one very closely for sure as well. Let me work in one more phone call. Hi, Brandon. Thanks for your patience.
Hey, thanks. I just want to get your thoughts on Cyberpunk 2077 specifically. How The Witcher was third person, but this is going to be first person. And I believe it's CD Projekt Red's first person game, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, we touched on this earlier in the show, Brandon, where the trailer, what little we've gotten on this, it shows first and third person. Maybe it's going to be like Skyrim, and you can just flip between them and play the way you want to play, which would be great.
Yeah, I know some people liked in The Witcher being able to see your character and see the upgrades you get in the armor and whatnot, but I think you just got to trust the studio that they made that decision for a reason.
Right.
I tend to agree with you. And at least for me, Brandon, I get more pulled in when I'm first person, when it's my eyes.
Yeah.
Instead of looking
more up close and personal.
It is.
And there's another good reason to do first person, and that's from the tech side. If you're rendering third person, you've got this highly detailed character right in front of the camera at all times, and that destroys your rendering budget.
So if you
want to make a really beautiful world, you can make a more beautiful world if you're not rendering a character in front of you at all times.
And by the way, you know, when he changes swords, I need a beautiful version of that sword. And
Absolutely.
He changes armor. I need a beautiful version of that armor.
Right.
And that's an expensive render right there.
Your game will look better in first person.
Yeah. We'll see.
I'm excited.
I am too. Thanks. But I think it's the most exciting. I thought it was the most exciting game that we saw a look at at E3.
It's top three for me as well.
All right. So PlayStation wise, we talked of Last of Us 2. We've talked of Ghost of Tsushima. You and I are both big fans of Rick and Morty.
Yep.
I mean, it's a great show. They gave us a short glimpse of a forthcoming game that had previously been, as far as I know, totally unannounced, that has Rick and Morty's footprints or blueprints or fingerprints all over it, called Trover Saves the Universe. Doesn't have the Rick and Morty characters in it, but you'd never know because it's got all the same voices and the same artwork, and it sounds just like Rick and Morty are talking to you,
right?
But they're not.
And the developers Squanch Games, which is right out of Rick and Morty as well.
Yes, it is. They own it. And Justin Roiland is the creator of Rick and Morty. And this game. And so it is. It looks like it's going to be very much a Rick and Morty game. It's coming to PlayStation 4 and PlayStation VR.
Yeah, it's a VR title.
It's a VR title as well. And keep in mind, there is a Rick and Morty VR title.
Yes.
That's out there as well. So they've got some experience with that. Sam, I want to get your thoughts on Death Stranding.
Mm-hmm.
This is the Hideo Kojima's first game after leaving Capcom, controversially like three, 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And there are people that are bonkers excited for it.
Right.
And then there's me.
And then there's detractors. Well, there's probably a few detractors because the game looks very non-traditional, I would say.
Explain what you mean by that.
Okay. So, you need to watch the trailer, really, for this to mean anything, but it looks like an exploration game to me more than anything else. So a lot of what the trailer consisted of was the main character sort of trudging through different landscapes, which were absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah.
And then he got to a weird part where he has sort of a fetus armor?
In a jar.
He's got a fetus
in some fluid in a jar, and the fetus is alive and seems to be taking in the surroundings.
Right. So, I mean, it's obviously they're trying to do something different, and I want to applaud them for that because I watched all the press conferences and I saw so much of the same things over and over and over again. And so here we have Kojima trying to make something that's a little bit different and maybe a little bit out there. So I want to give the game the benefit of the doubt and say I want to see what it is. I'm very curious about it.
We got a long look at Death Stranding as they showed us in-engine gameplay.
It's beautiful.
Most of it was a dude walking with something on his back.
Right.
Like a backpack or a box or something.
Camping gear or something. Yeah.
I called it backpacking the game. You called it trudging the game. And it was just dude walking around.
Right.
That's not a game.
Well, there's obviously going to be more to it. This is a teaser. There's no launch date attached to it. We don't know that much about it. We know there's a lot of talent associated with it.
In all probability, it'll be good when it comes out.
I can see you liking this game.
Well, and I don't need fast action.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't need that.
Right.
But if you're going to use up 3 minutes of my time at E3, can you show me something other than dude walking around with stuff on his back?
Well, I think they're trying to build some mystique and interest about it.
I guess.
Apparently, it didn't work with you.
No, did not.
I am curious about the game. I would like to know more about it and see what's up.
All right, let's transition to the Xbox. We've hit all the other consoles at least in passing. The Xbox, we mentioned Halo Infinity earlier. couple other things you should know about. Gears of War, three new titles coming for Gears of War exclusively to Xbox. First is a full-blown Gears 5 coming.
Did they say who's developing it, by the way?
You know, if they did, I missed it. I'm not sure who's developing it.
Because 4 was developed in Vancouver by a new studio whose name I can't remember. Is it Black Tusk? I can't remember the name.
I don't recall.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. I'm just curious if they're doing the same, if it's the same studio again.
And they dated it. Coming next year, 2019, it'll be on Xbox One and Windows 10. That's Gears 5. But there's also Gears Tactics coming, which is going to be a tactical strategy game set in the Gears universe. And it's only going to be on PC. It's going to be turn-based combat with a fully customizable squad. And it is set a decade before the first Gears game. And then there's this one, which is Gears Pop, which is a mobile game using Funko Pop characters. These are those plastic characters you've seen for sale with the big giant heads. The gigantic heads.
Mm-hmm.
That game is a mobile game. We have no idea about gameplay, but it's coming next year as well to iOS and Android. So three different games coming.
Right.
Also in the middle of E3, published rumors that seem very legit saying that the next Xbox console will be coming in 2020. That would be, and that this next Xbox console will be part of a family of devices.
Kinect, maybe?
I don't think Kinect's part of the family, and if it is, it's the redheaded stepchild of the
family. It'd be great if they did another Kinect, wouldn't it?
Oh, God, imagine if they launched with mandatory Kinect.
Mandatory Kinect, yes.
Oh,
this time it's going to be great.
Yes, this time we mean it.
Right.
When they say family of devices, I mean, it could mean anything.
I think they mean phone and tablet and Surface, those kinds of things.
What do you mean? Tell me how the next Xbox, the next full-blown Xbox console is also a phone.
Oh, no. It won't be. I think they're going to, based on the very little that I know, which is almost nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, Microsoft's been trying to unify all of their devices for a long time. They're all running Windows 10.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see them having a Windows 10 phone, a Windows 10 Surface tablet, a Windows 10 PC, and a Windows 10 gaming console. Not 10. Yeah. It'll be whatever is when they come out. Maybe it'll be 11.
Maybe 11 by then.
Right.
Yes.
And then
wait. It'll be one.
You're right.
Windows one.
We're going back to the Xbox One again.
That's right. The Windows one. Yes. Yeah.
So they'll make it a friendly development platform so that developers could, you know, very easily build a single game that runs on all platforms.
Of them. Yeah.
That's probably their unification vision there.
Yeah, and that would actually be pretty smart.
Sure.
You know, if it's going to work on tablets and it's going to work on phones and it's going to work on, you know, your PC. And it's going to work on your console. Do you believe the next Xbox console will have an optical drive?
No. I don't think any of the next gen will have an optical drive.
I don't
either. I don't want one in my current one.
No.
if you give me $5 off the price, I would give you my optical drive. I don't want it, don't need it.
The code name for this is believed to be Scarlet. The Xbox One launched in 2013, so if this is going to come out in 2020, 2 years from now,
mm-hmm.
that'd be a 7-year run for a console, and that's about the right lifespan for a lot of consoles.
I mean, I have a lot to say about this, but I don't know. The quick version is game developers. We talk to developers all the time. It's at PlayStation. Yeah. The thing that they want, when you go to them and say, hey, man, what do you need to make like your next game that's really going to be different and great and not just another turn of the crank with better graphics?
Right.
And they tell us, we need a lot more CPU. Not a little bit more CPU, but a lot more CPU.
Not GPU. CPU.
Right. I mean, the GPUs are really ridiculously fast. And you look at how good the games look, and they're being shown at E3, the top flight games like Last of Us, they look amazing.
Yeah.
People aren't looking at that and going, oh, man, I need better graphics. But they do want destructible worlds and things like that that require a lot of CPU processing. But CPU processing is really expensive.
It's expensive.
So,
it tells the RAM you're going to need as well.
Right. And so, we're kind of waiting for the prices to come down, I think, before we get to the next gen.
That could be.
Yeah. On CPU particularly.
Yeah. So, I think those are some of the highlights from the Xbox side of it. You know, we've talked about it a million times in the show. The Xbox has a dearth of exclusives, but at least they did address, we have Halo Infinity, we've got Gears of War, so at least we've got that. So at least that's a starting point. Let's go to the Switch for a minute in our final few moments here of the show. Fortnite for the Switch, I believe available today. So it looks like it's out. And get this, cross play with the Xbox.
Yeah.
So, you know,
We're going to take a lot of heat at Sony.
Yeah, you are going to take heat on this because Sony blocked the cross play.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can kind of understand it. And in part, I don't know what the crossplay necessarily gains you in a game like Fortnite where there are a million people playing at one time.
Right.
And, you know, literally.
But you can play against your friends who are on their phone. I mean, you know, and things like that. And some people find that really compelling.
That part is true. There's a rumor going around that, and this is significant, that Fortnite is such a big title, they've squeezed Nintendo to force Nintendo to put chat through their headphone jack, finally. So they've got a headphone jack that they've never, they've software disabled the microphone part on.
That's crazy.
So you can't talk and you have to use the Nintendo app on your phone.
What year is this?
My God, that's insane. It's crazy. But the rumor is, and I'd love to get it firmed up, is that that Fortnite is so big and popular that they've outmuscled Nintendo on this, and they're going to push an update that will allow you to use the headphone jack as a mic.
Well, it's about time, I guess.
Yeah, no kidding.
If anyone could do it, Fortnite could. That game is just a juggernaut.
It is a juggernaut. Overcooked, one of my all-time favorite couch co-op games, gets a sequel, Overcooked 2.
Yeah, I saw that with some online play this time.
Online play, the ability to throw ingredients to each other
rather than have to hand them off.
That's handy, right?
Sure.
You know, incoming burger.
Right.
You know, how many times, you know, because that's half of it is, you know, I need onion. You know, somebody's running you onion and, you know, all that. Now you're going to throw the onion.
Is there a food fight mode? I mean, they've got the physics, they've got the mechanics.
I think so, right?
Food
they didn't mention it. Kitchens are going to morph and change instead of just being static. They're going to somehow morph change
like during gameplay.
During gameplay.
That's weird.
That is weird, but it'll probably all be good.
Yeah.
And I want to mention this one as well. Killer Queen is this crazy arcade game that people love to play. There's exactly one cabinet version of this in town. I think it's at Updown. And people love playing it. It's a 8 or 10 player team versus team arcade cabinet thing. That's coming to the Switch as well.
That could be cool.
It could be very, very cool. That's very exciting as well. So, yeah. E3, edition number one. Ryan will be back next week, and we'll talk a little bit. Wait a minute. Yeah, it won't be me, actually. It's gonna be AJ is in for me next week. So it'll be AJ and Reiner talking about some of the loose ends in E3 that we didn't cover.
He's gonna have a whole different perspective.
Yeah, he might. He may have a whole different perspective, and he's doing hands-on right now.
That's what I'm saying.
Which is great. Zach, thanks for help. We'll be back next week. If you're missing part of the show, check out the podcast, KFAN Fan on Demand. Talk to you in a week. Bye-bye.
Bye.